Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
But if you have your Bibles, Luke in chapter number 10, remind you where we were. Three Sundays ago, we kicked this series off, True Fiction. We're with Jesus as he is headed toward Jerusalem, where he will ultimately die on the cross for our sins. And we saw the first message in this series. I titled it Empty Religion, the Peril of the Good Samaritan. We saw a religion that changes the outside, but that doesn't change the heart, that doesn't change our actions, that doesn't change our affections, is an empty religion. And we saw that in that story of the Good Samaritan between the Levite and the Samaritan, and then the Levite and the priest and the Samaritan. Today we're going to see the opposite. We're going to see full religion. A religion that is full, that is vibrant, that is thriving. We're going to see what does that look like. And this is going to come from a story. Jesus is going to visit a house of some of his best friends in the world. He goes to this home multiple times. It was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These three were siblings. This is the same Lazarus that Jesus will raise from the dead in his final days on earth. And Lazarus he raised from the dead, and it's Mary and Martha that are his sisters. Today's story, five verses, is going to focus on the two sisters. And so after Jesus had told the story of the Good Samaritan, now Luke tells us a story of a visit of Christ to his friend's house, Mary and Martha. And we're going to see full religion. What do I mean by full religion? Full religion is a life where our relationship with Christ fuels everything we do for Christ. You understand this idea of the Christian life is far more a relationship than it is a religion. Religion would be a system of beliefs. Religion might, you might think of kind of this list of things I have to do. And the life of following Christ, the life of a Christian, is much more a relationship with someone than it is a system of checklists, a system of religion that we have to do. So what do I mean when I say full religion, our faith? I mean it's a life where our relationship with Christ fuels everything we do for Christ. Let's look at these five verses, Luke in chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Do you have kids? They ever do this? Mom, John's not helping. My sister, hey, look, she's playing video games. Why am I the only one that has to do the chores? This is what Martha welcomes Jesus in. Martha's busy in the kitchen preparing a meal. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. And Martha would not have come to Jesus and complained if she didn't believe she was in the right. She comes out and says, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed it, and I don't know if you can help me out a little bit here, but do you see what she's doing? Do you see what I'm doing? She had to believe she was doing the right thing, and Mary was doing the wrong thing. Can you help me out here? There's some stuff that I need help in the kitchen. Can you send Mary to help me in there? She's kind of being lazy, just sitting at your feet listening to your word. Look at Jesus' response, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, anxious. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus tells the story, the parable, of two people who had outward religion that didn't change the inside. And then he showed the effects of empty religion. And then he goes to show us where do we find the source, the power. We're going to continue next week with powerful religion. Where do we find that source of power, that strength? Where do we find not a religion that just changes the outside, but that changes the heart? I see here Jesus highlighting full religion right after he's highlighted empty. And we see four things about full religion. Full religion, what do we learn from Jesus? What is it, a thriving Christian life? What are the characteristics of it? Number one, I see here that Mary had the right priority, worship before work. The right priority, worship before work, being before doing, time with God before time with people. Mary understood this. And by the way, culturally, this would have been a very strange thing. Most rabbis would not have had women sitting at their feet listening to their voice. Jesus was countercultural in so many ways. The love and the respect, the involvement that he gave women in his ministry was very different from what first century rabbis would have done. But Mary understood the power of sitting at Jesus' feet, of being with him. It's interesting. Mary of Bethany, this Mary is mentioned three times in the gospel accounts, and all three times you find her in the exact same place, sitting at the feet of Jesus. The first time, she is sitting listening to his word. The second time in John 11, when her brother had died, she fell at his feet and shared her woe. And the third time in John chapter number 12, she came to his feet and poured out her worship. Mary understood that in every season of life, the source, the place she needed to be, was at the feet of Christ, relationship with Christ and his word. She knew where to go in every season of life. What a great example for all of us. Wearsby said, "Few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ." Few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. May I just challenge you this morning? If you lose your time with Christ, you'll lose your heart in service to Christ. It's what had happened to Martha here. She was still doing the right things, welcoming Jesus into her home, preparing a meal for everyone there, that hospitality. She was doing the right things, but she had lost her heart. Her heart of service, her heart for Christ. Jesus clearly showed the importance of staying connected to him in our walk with him. He said in John in chapter number 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what, church? Worship before work. Time with God before work for God. Time in communion before time in service." She understood she had the right priority. Be still and know that I am God. We need him to live the life he has called us to. Let's make this personal and practical this morning. When are you spending time at Jesus' feet on a regular basis? When am I? Are we worried about doing the right things, but we've lost our heart of just sitting and communing and being with him, our time in God's word? When are we spending this time with God? When are we praying on our own? When are we praying with our families? When are we spending time in personal worship? I want to challenge you to make a decision today to set a non-negotiable time tomorrow to just sit at Jesus' feet. Full religion has the right priority, worship before work. Sometimes we think about all the stuff people can see. Well, I've got to look right, I've got to talk right, I've got to act right, I've got to be in the right place, I've got to do the right things. Three to thrive, I'm going to sit in one, I'm going to serve in one, I'm going to share in one. All of those are great things. That's all good. But do not boil the Christian life down to a checklist of activities that you have to fulfill, an activity report. Oh no, Mary hath chosen that good part. What was the good part? Sitting at Jesus' feet, the right priority, worship before work in our lives. Full religion has the right priority. It also has the right focus, Christ over comparison. You see it in verse 40? She said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." She was cumbered, burdened, cumbered about with much service. And what was it that brought cumbersomeness to her? It was comparison. She got her eyes off of Christ and got her eyes on other servants. It was that poison. I talked to our staff 2 months ago. We have a monthly staff meeting, and I shared another parable of Jesus, and I talked about the poison of comparison in our lives. Comparison is a dangerous poison. Social media does this to us. We look at everyone else's highlight reels while we're living our blooper-filled life. We look at their edited version of their life, and we look at our real life, and comparison, it only has one of two outcomes. If you compare yourself with other people around you, only one of two things happens. One, you get lifted up in pride, I'm better than them. Or two, you get cast down in condemnation, I'm not good enough. There's nothing good that comes from comparison. And what happened here, we see that full religion has the right focus. It's not constantly looking, what am I doing that's better than them? Or what are they doing that's worse than me? Or why did God bless them there? Or why didn't I get this? Or why is God using them in that way? And what's wrong there? No, Martha, she was cumbered about. What does that remind us? We can get weary in well-doing. And can I just challenge you, Liberty family, this morning, don't let your serving for Christ become cumbersome. That's not his plan. He wants you to enjoy living for him, not endure it. We get to and we want to far more than we have to. Mary said, I get to be with Jesus. Martha said, I have to serve, and my sister's not helping me. Comparison destroyed her heart for service. We get to. Comparison takes our eyes off of Christ. What do I see here with Martha? I see that a wrong spirit in service can lead us to a wrong spirit toward other servants and even to our Savior. She was upset with her sister, but do you hear her attitude kind of with Jesus? It was almost like, Jesus, did you miss it? Surely you saw this. She starts complaining to Christ about why isn't that person doing what I want them to do? Why aren't they doing it the way that I do it? Have you ever been like Martha or been around a Martha serving, but a complete pain to be around? If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then something is terribly wrong with our service. One thing I enjoyed about Pastor Tomlinson, and I talked with him on the phone this week while we were in London. One thing I enjoyed about him, he was the previous pastor here for 25 years. He'll be back for our 50th anniversary in July. I said it this way. He served God for decades. He served God for a lifetime. And he wasn't mad about it. He still had the joy of the Lord. We get so cumbered about, I'm doing the right things, but we lose our joy. We lose our heart for service. It's all about comparison, and I'm doing more than them, and they're not doing enough, and they're doing it the wrong way. And Martha and Mary had two totally different personalities. They had different giftings, and they were both of them, by the way, were not doing the wrong thing, but Martha was doing the wrong. Serving is not wrong. Serving God, there's encouragements all through Scripture to serve God. It's not wrong to have a heart for others. The wrong thing here was her spirit of comparison. I see in this passage, comparison, it leads to frustration, it leads to criticism, it leads to expectation. These are poisonous and dangerous. We get frustrated when we compare. Why isn't this happening that way? And why didn't I deserve this? And why didn't that person do that for me? Let me criticize that person. Martha expected Mary to see things the way she saw them and do things the way she did them. And when she didn't, it led her to frustration. It led her to criticism. It led her to condemn her own sister, even to have a bad attitude toward God. Be careful. God has created every servant with different personalities. Give grace, give space. Keep your eyes on Christ, not in comparison. She wasn't serving with a focus on Christ. She was serving with a focus on her sister. Be careful. Paul told the church at Corinth, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not, what church? Are not wise. Don't be like those that look at others, measuring yourself against them and comparing yourself with them. You are not wise. Comparison, it's been said, can be the thief of joy. It can greatly affect our joy and our perspective. Have you ever ordered something at a restaurant? You looked at the whole menu, you found the one thing you wanted, and you were excited about it. If you weren't, you wouldn't have ordered it. Until the waiter came walking by with someone else's meal. And all of a sudden, you look at that meal, and what do you think? It's buyer's regret. Maybe I should have gotten that. And that meal you were excited about 30 seconds ago, you're not as excited about anymore. Nothing changed about the meal. What changed was your focus. You began to compare. You began to wish you had what someone else had. Your meal didn't change. What you were looking at changed. That's what happened to Martha. I see full religion as the right priority, worship before work. It has the right focus, Christ over comparison. What are we going, if we're going to have a thriving Christian life? Three, I see the right emphasis, one thing over many things. Martha, verse 41, you're careful, you're full of care, you're stressed, you're anxious about many things, but one thing is needful. How many of you have figured out there are many things we can give our lives to? There are many cares of this world that can become our focus, can become our emphasis. There are many things that can stress us out, but there's one thing as believers that we must give our lives to, the person of the Lord Jesus. We could all take a lesson from In-N-Out Burger. They don't have a 14-page menu. What have they said? We're going to do one thing, and we're going to do it really well. Some of us have a 14-page life and we're exhausted trying to manage it. And Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Martha, you're worried about a whole lot of things, but Mary has chosen the one thing that is needful. Full religion simplifies things, gets our eyes off of all of that comparison. I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to make sure this and that and this and that. And we say, I'm going to start where it really matters. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my mind. Time with God, communion, a heart level relationship, and everything else will fall into place. Jesus rebuked her. Martha, you're too agitated. You're too anxious. Her wonderful gift of service was being spoiled by a wrong spirit. And isn't it so easy to get cumbered about with everything that's on our plates? Work and home, kids, friends, family, church, school, sports, music. The list seems never ending and overwhelming. And if we're not careful, these good things, Martha's serving was a good thing. These good things take our eyes off of the one thing. They become distractions that take our eyes off of where they should be. Jesus, talking about the different soils of our heart to Mark, and Mark said this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, look at this, and the cares of this world, all these things, many things, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word. One thing over many things. Be careful that all of these distractions don't choke the word in your heart and in your life. A wrong emphasis in our lives will lead to wrong outcomes. Demas, having loved this present world, Demas hath forsaken me. One thing in your life or many things? Do you know your why? Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What did he say? But this, how many things? This one thing I do. This one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth in those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said this, forgetting those things which are behind, this one thing I do. Now that doesn't mean we don't have a variety of tasks that we have to take care of within a day. This isn't about, well, all I do, I'm a monk now, I moved to a mountain, I live in a cave, and I just read the Bible for 18 hours a day. Pastor said we have to do this one thing. No, it's not saying we don't serve, it's not saying we don't have jobs, it's not saying we don't have families, we don't have many things in our lives. What it's saying is be careful that those good things, that the emphasis on those doesn't choke the word and distract you from the one thing that is needful. There are some things in your life that are not as needful as the one thing. Put the one thing where it needs to be, that in all things he might have the preeminence, the first place, the priority, the right emphasis. And then lastly, I see in this passage the right rewards, eternal, not earthly. The end of verse 42. Mary hath chosen that good part, look what Jesus said, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen to give her life to things that will last forever. eternal, not earthly. Mary chose to live with eternity in view and not allow the daily cares of this life to choke out those eternal purposes and priorities. Martha had received Jesus into her home and then neglected the very one she was preparing the meal for. Don't we do the same thing? We accept him into our lives and then neglect him while we're supposedly living for him. I had a Bible college professor tell me, it's a weird statement, but he said, the easiest place in the world to backslide is Bible college. That doesn't make sense. For my Bible college, we were forced, I wanted to, but I mean, I didn't have a choice. We were forced to go to chapel every day. I was in Bible classes learning how to study the Bible. I had to read in one semester the whole Old Testament. The next semester, I had to read the whole New Testament. If you've ever tried to do that in a semester, that's a lot of reading. And I was reading other books and reading books about the Bible and reading the Bible and doing reports about the Bible. And here's what he said. He said the reason, and I don't know that it's scientifically proven the easiest place to backslide is Bible college. He was trying to make a point that don't just think because you're in a Christian environment that your relationship with Christ is going to stay strong. What he was trying to remind us and teach us and emphasize to us is in the midst of doing all these things for Christ, you can lose your heart with Christ. In the midst of learning about God, you can lose your heart to grow in your relationship with God. He was telling us, make sure you keep your heart on the eternal, not the earthly, that which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus says here, Mary has chosen a life and work of lasting purpose, Martha. Don't miss what Jesus is teaching here. There are things that we can spend our time on that will last for all eternity, and there are things we can do and motives with which we can do them that negate our eternal impact and our eternal rewards. Paul explained it to the Corinthian church this way: for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The thing we build our life upon is Christ. Now, if any man, what do we build? Then the life we build upon the foundation of Christ. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, and then he gives a second category: wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. There's coming a day, the judgment seat of Christ, when our works will be judged. And this is the bema seat, that reward seat of Christ, that our works will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Look at those two categories. Gold with fire gets more valuable, gets more pure, gets better. What happens to wood with fire? It's destroyed. Hey, gold, silver, precious stones, those get cleaner and more valuable, more beautiful with fire. The others get consumed. He said, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There's coming a day that our works will be put into two categories, eternal and earthly. And our motives and our thoughts, how much of our life is given to those things of eternal value. And that doesn't mean, by the way, does that mean the only thing I do eternal value is reading my Bible? No, your job, your career, your vocation is sacred as you go and give your best to the Lord and be a testimony and a light to Christ and help people through the work that he's given to you. That is of eternal value. The Bible says that we can work as unto the Lord and not unto man. And when we wake up, our work can be our worship and our family time can be worship and it can be of eternal value. The answer is determined by what you do and also by why you do it. Jesus here is not teaching that we shouldn't serve. Again, the Bible is full of encouragements to serve. He just told us the story of the Good Samaritan, the benefit of helping your fellow man. What he's teaching us here is, as believers, we shouldn't serve without a growing heart of love for our Savior. We should serve out of the overflow of our relationship, not the barrenness, the dry well of pride and duty. So here's the question. Is your Christian life vibrant? I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Are you living the abundant, thriving, joyful, vibrant life in Christ? Jesus teaches in 5 verses, a small little story, a whole lot about empty religion versus full religion. Relationship versus just doing the right things. And he says, Mary hath chosen that good part. The missionary and cricket star from the British missionary and cricket star, C.T. Studd, said it this way: only one life 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we can do, that can be in the menial tasks of the things that we do. Martha could have cooked that meal for Christ and it would have lasted. But she chose to have a wrong heart and Jesus rebuked her. Vince and Janet this week came face to face with the one that they serve. Can I tell you, if they could come back and talk to us now, neither of them would regret a single time that they spent in communion with their Savior, that they spent in service with the right heart as they begin eternity with the one they loved and they lived for. And it's a good reminder for all of us that that day is coming for every one of us. At the judgment seat, will our lives be marked by wood, hay, and stubble? Things of no lasting value, or gold, silver, and precious stones? A heart, a life surrendered and given to Christ. In the last verse, Jesus uses an interesting turn of phrase. Mary hath chosen that good part. It's a choice that every one of us will have to make on a daily basis. And my question to you this morning is, have you chosen the good part? All of us will neglect some things in our lives. Think of all the options with where to spend our time this week: our careers, housework, entertainment, family relationships, time with God, hobbies, to-do lists around the house, scrolling, church attendance, Bible reading and prayer. We all make choices daily and weekly. Are we choosing the good part? Or are we wasting our lives with hours of endless, mindless, wasted hearts, wasted time, wasted activity with wrong motives, with wrong spirit toward other servants of God? The question really is, yes, what are you doing? But it's also, what are you neglecting? Because everything we choose to do is also something we choose. Everything we say yes to is something we say no to. Everything we choose to do, there is something that we're choosing to neglect. All of us will neglect some things. Some will neglect selfish pleasures and others will neglect spiritual pursuits. I read this quote in the last week or two. Practicing a benign neglect of things that can be neglected in order to commune with Christ is a great privilege to the Christian. I love that thought. Learning to practice a neglect of things that we can neglect so that we can commune more with Christ is a wonderful privilege of the believer. A few weeks ago, we saw empty religion. Today, we see full religion. What is full religion? What does a thriving, abundant life in Christ look like? It's a right priority, worship before work. It's a right focus, Christ over comparison. It's a right emphasis, one thing, not many things. And it's the right reward, eternal over earthly. This week, let's learn from Martha and Mary. Any of you like me, you've been Martha, cumbered about with much serving, doing the right things, but doing it from the wrong reasons with the wrong heart, comparison, criticism, frustration, even to God. Well, why aren't you making them do that? Why do I have to carry this load? How come I have to do this? Nobody else does this. Why don't you fix it? Be careful. A wrong spirit in service leads to a wrong spirit toward other servants and even to our Savior. I've been Martha, and I pray at times I've been Mary. The goal is, let's be a little more like Mary this week. Let's leave behind empty religion that changes the outside but not the heart. And let's lean into full religion, a daily life where our relationship with Christ fuels everything we do for Christ. I get to. I don't have to. This week, will you choose distraction or devotion? Comparison or Christ? Many things or the one thing that is needful? Too often I've spent days, maybe even weeks, where I've done many things for him, but I've neglected the one thing that is needful. Working and developing that heart, that love relationship that I have for God and for his word, sitting at his feet and listening, being still and knowing that he is God. Mary chose the good part. Will you? And will I?
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.